sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy.
The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, July 10th, 2016, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of Lord Jesus our Christ. Today is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we come today before you, bringing our lives, our hearts, our burdens, our joys, bringing it all to you. And Father, we would ask that as we come to worship you and praise you today, that our hearts are lifted with our voices, songs, prayers, messages, and sharing. May we glorify you in this time together and find strength with you and one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Shine, Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy, send forth your word, Lord, and
Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, then 17 through 21, then it's chapter 4, verse 1, and verses 4 through 9 of chapter 4.
A letter from Paul. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. In this way, my beloved, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, If there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. And the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God.
I'm evicting us from the high places this morning. Got your Bibles? I come to you to speak to you this morning as your pastor. Not necessarily a sermon. To let a layer of skin off, if you will. To be real with the people I love. And with the people I see that love one another. It's kind of different from just coming and proclaiming and preaching. And in all honesty, I feel in my spirit this morning much of how I felt after 9/11. As I stood in front of about 6,000 people in Green River, North Carolina, packed, the biggest church we could find, and I was part of the Ministerial Association, and I drew the card. I had to give the message on the evening of September the 11th. And I remember the church on the Sunday following, standing room only. And I remember watching senators sing Amazing Grace on the steps of the Capitol. And I remember people praying in public. But soon it waned. I don't know what was going on in Wyoming. I can't tell you that. Maybe reflect on that yourself. I'm going to suspect that this morning, churches in Baton Rouge, churches in South Carolina, churches in Dallas, Texas, and other places where tragedies have hit, are seeing a little swell of the numbers today. I pray that that's where people are turning. There's difficulties in being a pastor. That God calls us to sense and feel things we often don't want to. For I look at each one of you and I know some struggles with which you struggle. Oh, you might not have told me, but I still know it. Some of your friends tell me things too, you know. So I come to talk to you this morning out of a depth of love as your pastor. And I'm not going to be as politically correct as maybe I should be. We're going to put our faith where it meets reality. In the top of your bulletin, right under Christ our Rock, our Salvation, you see sort of the theme. Healthy things grow. And the stuff that comes through that, challenge, change, trusting God, and healthy things grow. As I searched for Scripture to speak into this, I looked at Timothy's letter. In the last days, they'll be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure and from such turn away, and that wasn't it. You know, that's happened, hadn't it? This isn't the first time, is it? And then Carrie read me a prayer that had this, a little piece of this, and I was hunting it. And the Spirit said, aha! So I'll share it with you this morning. Get your books, because I want you to see this, not just hear this. Paul is opening this piece to these people he loves. There is no more tender letter than this one that Paul writes. And he starts it out with this pronouncement of humility. Not that I have gotten there. Not that I have attained it. Or I've already reached the goal. No. Paul knew that there was a war within him, and we know of that war, don't we, of good and bad? Right and wrong, morality and immorality, good choices, bad choices, good witness, bad witness. We know those difficulties, don't we? But I press on, forward, growing, to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me His own. You see, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, He's yours and you're His. And nothing can separate you from that. Nothing. Paul will later say, shall nakedness, famine, peril, or sword, nay, none of these can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but this one thing I do. You need to underline this. Put this in your memory. I want to be sure everybody's got it out and they're looking at it. Trinity, get that open. Don't sit there with that closed. I'm going to call you out now. I'm going to hold your foot to the fire. Maybe both feet. Share it with Maggie. Nicholas, you look over there too. Okay. Pat's getting there. I'm being a little mean this morning, aren't I? So you need a book. Do you need one? You are they up here? I know exactly how she feels. I only need mine to see with. Folks, you need to take this serious. I'm not playing fun and games. If you're playing fun and games, go on home. Go. There's the door. If this ain't real to you, you don't need to be here. You need to be someplace else. Let's get with it. Quit playing Christian. Quit going through the motions, having a form of. Forgetting what lies behind. Folks, we need a little lesson in forgiving and letting go. I lived through the civil rights movement. I watched a white man sick a Doberman pincher on a 4-year-old black girl and watched that dog chew that little girl up and mama wrapped it in a wet towel and put it in the back seat of the car. And I stepped out of my daddy's truck into the blood of that little girl. I won't ever forget that. I was 6. I saw a black man whose fingernails had been pulled off because he had touched a white woman. You might not have had that in Wyoming, but brother, you lived in the deep south where I grew up? Oh, yeah. They put a black man and his wife in a hog pen and fed them with the hogs for a month because they dared to come through the town. I know about racism. I know about discrimination. I'm looking at a congregation full of white folks this morning. But you know what? You're not the evil ones. Your skin color don't make you wrong. How many of you picked your skin color? Come on, sure. While you were in there, you had a multiple choice selection code while in the womb, and you could pick one, right? Evidently, I missed the one about hair, or just checked the wrong one, because I always wanted to have a nice head of hair, and I did for a few minutes. It was just showing up and leaving, I guess. We need to let go of some stuff, folks. We need to let go of some stuff. You cannot forgive people if you won't turn it loose. There are some stuff I'm sure you and I need to leave behind. We talk about racism, but every form you fill out, you have to decide which race you are. And I ain't figured out that other blank yet. We talk about sexism, but you got to put it on there, don't you? We talk about there's no barriers to age, but you got to put it on there, don't you? Lip service. That's what's going on. Lip service. We need to leave some stuff behind. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. Do you hear that word here? Straining forward. Going against it, going against the society, going against the norms. And I'm going to talk about those in a minute. They're warped, they're twisted, they're wrong. And we as the church are the hope of changing it. But we've got to do it, not just talk about it, not just point our finger. I press on to the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. How many of you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? Don't deny Him. Raise your hand. You trust in Him? Raise His hand. If you're ashamed of Him now, He'll be ashamed of you then. Some of you ain't raising your hands, so you probably need to hear something. Did you know that if you have Jesus as your Savior, He's called you to something? He's called you to something. To serve Him, not yourself. To listen to Him, let Him lead and guide your life. Wherever you are, He's planted you that you would grow. I'll bet you, if you'll just look around, people say, well, I don't know who I could tell about Jesus. Look around. I bet your circle, there's a lot of people that need to know about Jesus and need the hope that's offered there. I bet maybe even your own family needs the good news. So think about it. Your mission field might be around the dinner table. Brothers and sisters, join me in intimidating. Observe those who live according to the example you have in us. Where are the examples for our kids to follow today? Look at the examples we've put on pedestals as a society and culture. Holy smokes, no wonder it's a mess. And the people who are good role models are torn down, and the Christians leave them hanging. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. There are evil people in the world. Folks, do you think the devil wants this conversation this morning? He's probably in somebody's mind right now. Don't listen to him. You go ahead if you want to. That's what you want to do. Go for it. But I feel the Spirit leading me to have this little bit of conversation today. And you're going to be a little uncomfortable. Guess what? I'm a little uncomfortable having it. Taking a big chance. Like I said, I've got alligator skin covered with elephant hide. So I've at least taken off the elephant hide this morning. Maybe I should keep it on, put it back on or whatever. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Who is the enemy of the cross of Christ? If you're not for Him, you're against Him. That's it. Remember, I say there's two choices. No more, no less. You either believe in Jesus, trust in Jesus, or you don't. That's the way it is. He's either your Savior or not. He's either your Redeemer or not. Pick one. There's not a third. Many are enemies of the cross. Do you hear what I just said? Enemies of the cross. If they don't believe in Jesus, then the devil will use them to tear down those who do. enemies of the cross. And look at Paul, what he says. I've often told you of them, and now I tell you in tears. And I share this same sentiment as Paul this morning. There are enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. In other words, self-serving, self-fulfilling, selfish and greedy, never thinking about anybody else but what they can get. Always playing a game. Always got an angle. Always coming at you from somewhere. That's them. And their glory is their shame. They think doing bad things is wonderful. They think killing somebody is doing God a favor. But it's their shame. It's their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. Folks, do you think that Jesus cares what color we are? Do you think there's a whites only fountain in heaven? Do you? There shouldn't be here. That Lord's Prayer we pray, have you heard the words of that? Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. How many times have we said that? Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly. Their glory is the shame. And their minds are set on earth things. But our citizenship is in heaven. Folks, you have to have a heavenly mind or you'll be earthly lost. You've got to have an eye toward the prize. You got to keep your mind on the things of God and your eyes on Christ. Or you'll get caught up in this stuff. Oh, there's enough drama to go around, isn't there? And if you don't think there's enough, then you wait a minute. Somebody will show up with some. Mike, do you deal with any drama in your job? I had to pick on it. Folks, you don't know. I was a police officer. And you just don't know. The worst thing that you can hear on your radio is there's a domestic disturbance at 2242 Euclid Street. The first thing that goes through your mind is, oh, heck. And you gear up. That's the worst call you can get. Because when you get there, you become the enemy. They quit fighting each other and turn on you. It's just fun. Don't try it. You won't like it. It is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform our body of humiliation, in other words, our body of sin, that we may be conformed to the body of His glory. Change is a challenge. Change is a challenge. It isn't easy. And that challenge forces us to trust God. To trust God. By the power that also enables Him to make all things subject to Him. I would tell you to underline all things. He's still on the throne. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, listen to Paul, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. And here it comes. This is our encouragement for times such as these. For times such as these. Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't get lost in the dark. Rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't get lost in the bad. Don't get lost in the little faults and failures of other people. Folks, there's a lot of good going on in the world around you. And you have an opportunity to celebrate the good. Rejoice in the Lord, and I say rejoice. I like this one. Let your gentleness be known. Instead of biting and chewing and tearing down, a little gentleness goes a long ways. Did you know that? You do catch more flies with honey than vinegar. And let it be known to everyone, the Lord is near. He's not asking you to do this alone. I'm not asking you to do this alone, but I am asking you to do these things. For they're beneficial to you right now. They're beneficial to our community, and we're part of the world scene. We don't need to think that that stuff in Dallas don't affect us, or Baton Rouge, or Orlando, Florida, or Charleston, South Carolina, or California. We don't need to think that it don't affect us, because it does. And our hearts should be broken. We should expand our circle of concern past the me, mine, for, and no more. Don't worry about anything. Okay. How many of you like to worry? Come on. Maggie just snuck her hand. There, Sarah, there's two. Okay, maybe I should say that. How many of you worry? What can you do about it? How many of you have spent a sleepless night only to get up the next morning and the problem's still on the table and it didn't do a bit of good, except now you're tired, you're exhausted, you're grumpy, and you got bags under your eyes? Look at this. I got suitcases, and I don't worry about much, but we should be concerned. And Paul says this is what we should do about it. Look what he says. Don't worry about it, but in everything, by prayer. What has been my focus for two Sundays at least? Prayer. The power of prayer. To change you, the prayer, and them, the prayed for, and the community and the world around us. It begins with prayer and supplication. In other words, humility. Humbling ourselves. But I want to encourage you to pray in particulars, not in generalities. George Hubbard has lung cancer. Pray for George Hubbard who has lung cancer. Don't pray for that guy they talked about in church. Well, maybe you can if you can't remember who it is, and I have to sometimes write things down. If you've got a need, say it, name it, claim it. Supplication, to submit them, to give them, to hand them over. Don't take them back once you give them to God. They're His. Strain forward. Let go. Let Him have it. Maybe the serenity prayer I should have put in here. Give me the strength to change the things I can and the sense to know some I can't. That's a paraphrase of Jim. Okay. Do not worry, but everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And now, if you do that, the reason I'm having this sermon, talk, scripture lesson, there's an absence of peace in my spirit. For my community, the world around me. I listen to conversations from the DMV office getting a license plate to Walmart, to grubs at breakfast. And I hear the pain, the uncertainty, the doubt. And folks, those are things the devil can use to turn us away from God and against each other, to divide and conquer. Yes, we should be together. A little further. And the peace of God, if we do that, which surpasses all understanding, will guard. Do you see that? Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Folks, we need this. We need this. Finally, Paul begins to close his letter. Beloved, whatever is true, we've come to a time in this nation where truth is handled pretty darn recklessly. And a lie is preferred. You cannot heal on a lie. You cannot move forward on a lie. You cannot confront the evil of the world around us on a lie. We're told that the things in this world are the problem. Folks, I got news for you. I'm going to dive in a little political here. Gun control, hot issue, right? Cain killed Abel with a rock. I could take 50 pounds fertilizer, 5 gallon diesel fuel, and level a city block. I don't need a gun. I have learned through history of humanity that when man decides to kill somebody else, he'll find a way. Yeah, you can be vulnerable. Folks, it isn't a thing. You can lay a loaded gun up here. How many of you, and I told Sunday school about this morning, how many of you remember what a bouncing Betty is? Greg does, Anthony does, Mike does. A bouncing Betty. The Germans in World War II created a landmine, and they modeled it after the Jack in the Box. And when you stepped on it, it exploded up out of the ground, literally sprung up about this high, and it would detonate and shred everything about waist high, cut soldiers completely in two. But you know what? Bouncing Betty was bad, wasn't she? But if you didn't step on her, she didn't do anything. She just hung out there in the dirt. You know, they're still finding bouncing Bettys and other landmines left over. An inanimate object, if we blame an inanimate object, then we're not telling a lie. The truth is not, folks, we don't have a gun control problem. We don't have a problem of dynamite. We have a problem of sin in the world today and an absence of Jesus Christ in people's hearts. We can't blame the stuff. It's the people. Sometimes we need to look in the mirror. The truth is what we need, not a bunch of hyped up junk. My daddy used to say, figures don't lie, but liars figure. You can find a statistic to prove whatever you want if you skew it just a little. And what's bad in our world today of Google and Bing and web crawlers and meta this and meta that's is we don't know what the truth is there either. Somebody said, everything's on the internet's true, isn't it? If you believe that, I've got some property for sale. See me after church. Truth, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. We've come to a place where honor is put down. People would rather hire you to be dishonest than to tell them the truth. You go up to a boss and tell him there's a problem down with number 9, he'll say, well, really? Ain't nobody else seen anything. Honorable to tell the truth. We can't be honorable today because if we are and we tell the truth, we're hating somebody. Because I disagree with your lifestyle don't mean I hate you. I'll let the skin off here a little bit. My oldest daughter is gay. She lives with a woman in Plano, Texas, and has for a few years. I don't agree with that, personally. But I love her. And for several years, we didn't talk. Because I wouldn't go to her wedding thing. Now, I don't care what you think of me. That's up to you. But I don't hate my daughter. There's nothing she could ever do that would make me hate her. But because I wouldn't condone something, the phrase today is, why are you hating on me? Honorable. Right. Truth. Whatever is just. Justice today. Oh, boy. Just kind of depends on a lot of factors, don't it? Well, anyway, whatever is pure. Boy, what have we done with that one? Sex rings in a junior high school. Where boys and girls who decide abstinence before marriage are ridiculed and made fun of. Where chaste is a bad thing. Where marriage outside of sex is totally accepted, fine, great, and wonderful, and you're odd if you don't do it. Pure. I'm getting in it, aren't I? I might have to be on a taller stool. I may be getting into quicksand. Purity. Purity of thought, too. How about we think the best of people instead of the worst? How about we not be conditioned to the society and the first thing we do is find fault with it? How about we find first what's good with it? I bet some of you walked by Brandon's project out here and found all the things that were wrong with it rather than the things that were good about it. You need to think about it. You got two choices. The world wants you to find the bad and celebrate it. And God says, look at, how many of you want God to see the good in you or the bad? Which one do you want? Do you know what praying and seeking forgiveness from Jesus does? It erases that mess. It makes you pure. The Bible says, and His blood shall make us white as snow. We sang a great hymn in the church, white as snow. White as snow. Purity. The restoration of our lives through Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. And the world will say, it won't happen. Jesus said, I died so it could. Purity. We need to bring it back. We need to celebrate it and make it a good thing. To have a positive witness in our life. To set a good example to the world and our community of morals and values and purity and honor and good. We need to bring it back. What has happened? I'm trying to go back to the end of World War II, and some of you are old enough to go back. How many of you remember the civilian marksman program? You used to could buy M1 Garand rifles through the government for $29.95 surplus military. Anybody remember that? Maybe I got to roll forward a little bit. How many of you remember buying an M1A or an M14 after Korea, Mike? What did you need to do to buy that? You sent them the money and they mailed you a gun. Oh, wow. What happened? We didn't have any mass shootings back. What, did we? You know, I lived in the Civil Rights Movement. I don't remember any mass shootings. But I do remember after they killed Martin Luther King Jr. and his way of peace and peaceful protest that the Black Panthers got all hot and bothered and bombings started happening. And violence erupted in the streets. I remember things like that. Do you? I'm not pointing fingers. I'm stating history. Folks, it isn't. I bought 150 AK-47s, Russian head stamps, $5 a piece. Those things had enough grease on them, I had to take them to a steam jenny. Do you folks have steam jennies out here? To get the cosmoline off of these things. Guess what? They were still fully automatic. I was a licensed fire. We had to take the Sears out and change it out to make them select fires. You used to get your M14 or M1A, civilian model number, and the selector had already been changed in it. The hole was still there and all that other stuff was still there. What happened? What happened to the virtues of a man and a woman saving themselves for that time and place? What's happened to a society that has went away from God is what we see. Folks, Jesus is the cure. But the world sees it as the problem. The world sees moralities and values as a problem. when it's the answer to the problems. Whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing to God, not yourself, not selfishness, but pleasing to God. What pleases God? Commandment number 11, love one another. That pleases God. Quit killing each other and beating each other. Folks, there's evil in the world, and you have to take account for that. Don't be fooled by it. You have to protect yourself and your families. And that's why we need to support law enforcement and the people who help to keep us safe. They can't become our enemies. They can't be afraid to step outside their car. Whatever is commendable. What is commendable today? Verse 9, I leave you with it. Oh boy, am I over time. Did you notice that, Greg? Greg's my official timekeeper. He kind of keeps an eye on that. But he also counts you. You do know that too, don't you? He can't help himself. He said he just counts. It's just something he does. Verse 9, I want to close with this. And we're not going to have closing songs and hymns and all that stuff, Sue, I'm sorry. We're going to do a little something different as we close. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. And just before that he said, look at this. What is true, honorable, just, whatever is pure and pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these. Find the good and you find the hope. Celebrate the good and the bad gets away. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Who is your neighbor? Everyone you meet. Remember that Paul will also write that we do not have enemies of flesh and blood, but of spirits and principalities in high places. It isn't the person that's doing this to destroy communities. It's evil that's afoot. It's the enemy of the cross of Christ. And I warn you that as a Christian, you are his enemy too. This is spiritual warfare. Next Sunday, we talk about the whole armor of God and how we are prepared to stand against his darts. I encourage you today, our hope is still in Christ Jesus. See the good and let us covenant together in prayer that begins today. You don't have to wait till the 14th, but it begins today, to covet together in prayer. Amen. And you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, those in the journey with you, those who God has put in your life, do you think it's an accident you're here today? Do you think it's an accident? No. For we are the family of God. Each one of us. And I see the good that's in you. And I like the fact that I don't get ran over at Walmart. And I like the fact that if you're pumping gas, the person on the other side talks to you. And I like the fact that a bunch of men came out here and helped a boy yesterday on a scouting project. We had a good time. I thank God for each one of you. Behold those who are in this journey with you, pressing forward to the goal of Christ Jesus. May you memorize who holds your hand and who you see this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, we hold someone's hand, but it's far more important than that. but that we would hold each other in prayer and supplication, submitting it in humility before you. Father, there's problems in the world around us that seek to cause us to lose hope and faith. Father, we have two choices. We can see it as dread and the end, or the beginning and opportunity for love and grace. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and the hope for all of humanity. Let us lose the isms that separate us and become a wedge for the enemy to use. Let us love one another, and let us uphold that which is honorable and pure. Let us seek the truth, even if it is inconvenient, that we may heal through your forgiveness. And may we lay some things down. May we leave some things behind that we don't need to carry. May we let go of past hurts and pains, and may we seek your forgiveness that makes a heart pure once again. May we realize that a mission field is right around us. Let us be patient and loving and kind and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit. And let us hold one another in prayer in all things, praying that we may know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And now, may we truly go in peace with the peace of God with us, knowing that the Lord is near. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I promise you'll pray for the one beside you. Find out who they are if you don't know them. God bless you. May the peace of God go with you. Amen.
The preceding was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. If you would like copies of this message for friends or family, you may contact us at area code 307-362-5334. Our email address is rsfumc@hotmail.com. Visit our website at www.rsumc.org. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. You are cordially invited to join us in worship at 10:30 on Sunday mornings.